Poorly Read.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read. This week we're cracking on with Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Yeah. We're doing all sorts of cracking around here. So we're cracking jokes, we're cracking skulls, we're cracking cheeks.
Nice. I was trying to get there. I couldn't.
Yeah, so we're starting with chapter 8.
You, if I remember rightly, were really looking forward to this chapter.
Right, I'm not going to lie, right? I forwarded a lot of this
chapter. Oh, good. Well, I made painstaking notes about the whole thing. I'm really looking forward to dragging you through all of it.
I listened to it all properly until like the match actually started. And I was like, So I just forwarded it until like the Vila started getting weird. And then the match pretty much finished soon after that.
Yeah, the Vila.
Yeah. Oh, the Vila. I'd take him in any form, yeah. I would.
I had a thought about the Vila. Should we wait till we get there?
I mean, we can if you want. I'm easy. Like Sunday morning.
Did you deliberately not sing the melody right there for copyright reasons?
I'm very conscious that there might come a time where I regret all of my decisions. I have to go through and just like auto-tune everything. Chapter 8, the Quidditch World Cup. And do you know, I can do whatever the fuck I want, Tom. Yeah, it literally picks up right after Arthur got all excited about the lights coming on.
Yeah, pretty much. They all walk through, they all just carry their excited boners all through the forest.
Walking with their vuvuzelas. Yeah. Whenever I think of like a sporty stadium-y atmosphere, I don't know if it's an actual song or like a traditional like South American like melody, but you know the that you'd play on like a trumpet or like a vuvuzela or something,
maybe,
do you know? And it's always, I've got this distinct memory of that sound in like a crowd at like a soccer game or something. It's, and I, that's what I was thinking of.
I just always imagine just crowds of hooligans going da 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 da, and who have no idea who the White Stripes are.
Oh, yeah, it's because sport is for wankers.
Yeah.
Mate, yep. Joking.
I'm not.
No, sport is beautiful. It's the only time we love other skin colours.
Because they're super fast.
Yeah. So yeah, they get to the stadium and they have seats in the top box, and they go up there and they see like the minister in there, the minister of Hungary, is it?
It's the Bulgarian.
Bulgaria,
minister.
Sorry.
And he's just looking blankly and Fudge is all like trying to, I can't remember exactly what he says.
He says, oh, he doesn't understand a speck of English. I've been having to do sign language all day.
Yeah.
And then he says, he like motions, like, do you want a seat or something like that?
Yeah. And Kipbo's like, okay.
Yeah. Then Harry's like, Fudge. Oh, fuck it. Don't worry. I was going to make a joke and I messed it up. And they look down upon some of the empty seats in the box, and there's a house elf that Harry at first thinks is Dobby, but it's not. It's another house elf.
Called Winky.
Yeah.
Who says, but I know Dobby, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, he's gone the yeah. way.
He's
of
a bit of a bastard.
He's a bit of a wanker now. He's been
what?
I forgot I wrote that Winky is disapproving as Dobby's been gallivanting around the country, happy slapping people and peeing in their soup.
What?
I have no idea. I forgot I wrote that.
That was 2 a.m. Tom thinking, yeah. Oh, that'd be funny. On it, right, so as I was listening to these chapters, because I really try, unlike some people, I try not to pre-plan my jokes.
Well, I don't usually, and I'm glad for it, because that's how it goes.
But yeah, because I kept on thinking of really funny stuff, and I thought, and then I was like, no, I don't want to write it down, I'd rather just see what happens in the moment, and all of it I've forgotten. So, yeah.
Oh, good.
So
that's what you're a good strategy then.
Fresh off the conveyor belt, guys. And my laugh factory. yeah, Winky says that Dobby has been going around asking for paid work and how it's a travesty.
Yeah.
And travesty in Fringe also means transvestite.
Does it?
Yeah.
That's probably where our word comes from then.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Eddie Izzard has a whole bit about it. It's Trey funny. Winky's scared of heights. She's like covering her eyes and stuff, and she's sitting next to an empty chair.
Yep.
Yeah.
But she's a loyal elf, so she does her duty anyway, even though she's scared of heights and she don't like it.
Yeah, I like Stephen Fry's voice for Winky. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you not like it?
Yeah, it's fine. Didn't really occur to me at the time. It's just Stephen Fry doing a house elf voice. Yep, seems about right.
No, but I've got to say, as much as I fucking hate the man...
Why do you hate the man?
He's just such a fucking... he's just a bit of a doorstop, isn't he? You know?
Well, I'm a big fan of Stephen Fry. I just want to make that clear, this ever reaches his ears.
I respect his talent. He's got a huge talent!
And I respect it.
But his voice is sort of like, I can't even do it. I was going to do an impression there and I thought, you don't know what you're fucking doing. Anyway, it's good. Then the Malfoys appear.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the minister says, oh, yes, Lucius... he donated a generous amount of gold to St. Mungo's recently. I've invited him here as my special guest. This is the Bulgarian blah blah blah. You know Arthur Weasley, of course. Mm-hmm. And then they exchange like glances. Yeah. Arthur licks his lips. Malfoy gives him a little wink.
And exchange blows.
Yeah.
Did the Malfoys stay in the box with them the whole time?
Do you know what? I actually can't remember.
I can't remember because they're not really brought up. They don't.
Well, no, they must be because like the minister says that he invited them there as his special guest, right?
Yeah. So they must be in the. Maybe it's just a big box. We sit on the other side of it.
It must be a big box because at the end of the fucking match, like everyone's fucking in there.
And the cup gets brought up to the box for some reason.
Yeah, where no one can see it.
Yeah.
Just.
That was weird.
It was weird. And we don't know who's to blame. So it's Ireland v Bulgaria and the mascots come out.
Yep. We've got Bagman enters first and does sonorous on himself and starts doing the commentary.
Ah, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Which makes me wonder if that's what Lee Jordan does. Because in the films, I'm pretty sure he has like a microphone of some sort.
I imagine Hogwarts has like some like...
So old, antiquated.
Copper like... megaphone.
Yeah.
With like Hog or like Hogwarts on the side because the H has fallen off. Yeah. Yeah, something like that. Which is ridiculous and stupid. Because then McGonagall could just have her own sonorous and then she could just cut Jordan off at any moment. But no.
Yeah, well, it seems like that is what she... But then she wouldn't need to have sonorous'd herself.
Yeah.
She could just be like, Jordan, stop it.
Yeah.
Quietly in his ear without her voice booming out over everything. But it does in a way that suggests a microphone is picking her up. But microphones don't work at Hogwarts.
Yeah.
There's got a magical microphone of some sort, but then they've got a spell for it, so why would they need that?
Do you know what? Maybe literally no one else can hear them, apart from those in the immediate vicinity.
McGonagall's like, it's Quidditch time, Jordan. You know what that means? And he's like, oh.
He's like looking around going, and Harry catches the snitch. He catches the snitch. He catches the snitch. And he's like crying and everyone's like, what? Jordan's plans to communicate via his eyes did not work. McGonagall withdraws her slimy hand.
Stuffs his mouth with shortbread to stop him from talking.
One day I'll turn this megaphone on, Jordan.
Jordan didn't know how he was going to get out of this one.
Ah, oh, what a lark. What a plunge. Right, so so Ireland sends out a load of fucking leprechauns.
The Vila come out first.
Do they?
Yeah.
I apologize.
So it's the sort of weirdly like spectral, pearlescent, but very beautiful women.
Yeah.
Come out, and Harry and Ron find themselves suddenly hypnotized.
Mm.
And Harry's all like, he's felt the sudden urge, he had to do something extremely impressive. And he thought, yeah, jumping off the box, that'd do it. He was almost up and over the thing. And I was like, boys, I'm right there with you.
I was just amazed at how, like, the men in the countries that Vila's, like, are native to must, like, die all the time, yeah, trying to impress them.
They're like sirens, or
totally.
But just on land and walking around.
Yeah. They shouldn't be allowed.
No. But it made me wonder, it doesn't seem to affect women. So, like, Hermione's not affected by them at all. Does it affect gay men?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Well, nothing affects gay men. Because we're always over it.
Yeah.
I imagine, because I think there must be male Vila as well. Or at least if you're like the offspring of a pairing and you're a boy, you must have like at least some of the Vila traits. So I reckon that males that have Vila qualities probably have the effect on women and gay guys, I reckon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if like full Vila can take whatever form.
Can they?
Well, no, I don't know. Maybe.
No, I think they are. I think as far as we know, we only hear about them being women.
Yeah.
So I reckon they're either exclusively women, or we just don't hear about there being Vila men. I can't imagine there are Vila men.
Yeah.
So I reckon. But then how are Vilas born?
Well, exactly. And Vilas are capable of procreating with humans, because we know Fleur Delacour's part Vila, right?
Yeah. Hmm. Curious and curiouser.
Indeed.
I wonder what a Vila boy would look like. I bet he'd be dreaming. Yeah, so they come out, do a little ting, and then...
do a little ting. Shake their little tings.
Imagine, like, Vila's, like... Oh, this may be too explicit to keep on the pod, but maybe, like, they're so Vila-y that, like... their clitori are just like little like silver bells. So the men know exactly where to find it.
Yes. Harry could have swore he could heard the ringing of tiny little bells, but he couldn't see where it was coming from.
Harry had the strange urge to create alphabet letters with his tongue. Right, so then Ireland send the leprechauns out.
Yeah, they do. And they drop heavy gold coins that bounce off their heads.
Fucking hell. I'm sorry, but there's like real dangers about dropping pennies from towers, you know?
Heavy gold coins. They must be I mean, we know they're magic coins and they disappear after a little while, but
maybe everyone's just wearing a hat.
Yeah, like a helmet. So, the leprechauns are coming, helmets on.
Maybe it falls very slowly.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be something, because they can't just be showering the audience in heavy gold coins. People would die.
Yeah, for real, real.
Yeah.
Okay, I think it must fall really slowly.
Yeah, that's nice. We'll go with that.
Okay, yeah. Then Ron's like, fucking hell, I'm rich. Harry, here, take that for the omnibuculars and everything else you bought me.
You can't.
Yeah. But he'd say that, you can't. And stuffs it in his mouth. I broke your teeth, don't worry, buy some more. Oh, God. Yeah, and then the players appear on the pitch. And then I put... the match happens.
The match does happen.
I literally skipped forward to the point where Ireland earns a penalty.
They get two penalties at one point.
Do they? Yeah. I obviously missed one.
No, I mean, at once they get ordered two penalties.
Two at once?
Well, the referee gets distracted by the Vila. And starts like flexing his muscles and stuff in front of them.
God.
And then the Bulgarian players come down and start shouting at him about it or something. And he's like, Two penalties to Ireland.
Okay, fair enough.
I think. We see a Ronski feint performed expertly.
Yeah.
By Victor Crum, which involves darting down to the ground as a distraction tactic.
Yeah.
Pulling up at the last minute and the...
pulling out at the last minute? What? And it doesn't work, Tom.
And the Irish seeker gets a mess on his belly.
I don't know how it worked, but it do. Right, fucking hell. Right, so the leprechauns form a massive hand sign and give the finger to the Velas. They flip the bird.
And they love it.
They ring those bells. They do. And then the Vela women, affronted by this, turn into fucking bird women and start throwing fire at them.
Yeah.
And then Mr. Weasley goes, and that, my boys, is why you never go for looks alone. And Harry's like, yeah, that's quite. Yeah.
Through his mouthful of broken teeth. So Ireland lead by 130 to 10.
That's
then
terrible.
That, yeah. Then the referee falls victim to the Velo and awards two penalties.
Yeah, we've done that already.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just, you know, taking you point by point through the match because I know you want the details. And then I guess Ireland get a couple more goals. Oh, and yeah, Crum takes a bludger to the face.
Fucking
and
hell.
Is full on broken nose, bleeding everywhere, black eyes. Yeah.
See? All these fucking bludgers in the game. You don't need them. Oh, it makes me so mad. Also, why wouldn't you just
but
wear like
if
a
they didn't have them,
thing?
How else would they have broken Crum's nose?
Sat on it.
Ah, yes, the traditional way.
Yeah, it's called a Highland nose break. You sit, clench, and twist. Oh, God. Right, back in the room. Right, the twins' prediction for the match happens.
Yes, it does. Crum catches the snitch when they were 160 points behind. And when Ron's like, why did he do that, the bloody idiot? Harry's like, he knew they were never going to catch up. The Irish chasers were too good. He wanted to end it on his terms. That's all. Dumb.
Dum dum. Yeah. I mean, fair enough, really. It's just Harry had to say it in a wank way.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing I would do if I was Crum. I'd be like, we're not going to win this. I'd rather at least catch it. I would rather at least do my job properly.
I suppose. But at that point, I feel like the seeker's job becomes stop the other seeker getting the snitch.
Yeah, by getting the snitch.
By preventing them from doing it, distraction,
yeah, but
whatever.
That, you've got to think about it as well, though, that at that elite like level, if they're that far behind, it's really unlikely they're going to be able to catch up without the other team also getting further and further ahead.
Yeah.
So I reckon he did the right thing. That's just what I would have done, I think.
Well, all right.
So
then the cup's brought up to the top box for some reason.
Yeah, all the fucking players come in, commiserations are given to the losers, hand jobs to the winners. And then Ludo pays the twins their winnings in leprechaun gold.
Does he?
Yeah, and I didn't hear this, but only because in the next chapter they reference it as if it was a thing that happened and was stated. And it is what happens, but it's...
Oh, I thought this was a big part of how they opened their shop, ultimately.
No, so there's this whole subplot with the twins. I kind of don't want to spoil it.
All right, let's not then.
I mean, I can if you want. No, there's this whole subplot with the twins trying to fucking get their money off of Ludo because obviously the leprechaun gold disappears. So throughout the books, they keep on like running into Harry in like the owlery, like, and Harry's like, what are you doing here? And they're like, what are you doing here? And it's because they're sort of like blackmailing him, being like, look, if you don't fucking give us our winnings, we're going to tell everyone. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, fair play to him.
Yeah, I would have done the fucking same. Yeah. He was a cunt for doing that. So then we go straight into chapter 9.
Dark Mark.
Can you say that in the accent I like?
Which accent? Oh, the Scouse accent.
Yeah.
Fucking.
Also, don't forget, you've got to do Hermione's voice as that every time now.
Okay. Fucking Scousers, fucking chapter 9, Dark Man.
I've got to say, I find it very sexy when you do that.
Well, then I will stop immediately.
Chapter 9, Gifton's Hard Shaft. No, sorry. Now they all go back to the tent. Yeah, and they all sort of are on like a bit of a high, but they get to sleep eventually. They try and stay awake, but then Ginny falls asleep in her porridge.
Arthur says they can stay up for one last cup of cocoa before they go to bed.
Of course you did, Arthur. Cup of cocoa. I always think of Mrs. Doubtfire. Do you know, I think, is it in her interview, she's like, what accent does Mrs. Doubtfire have? It's Scottish, isn't it?
Yeah, no, well, it's sort of a weird mock Scottish accent, I think.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
You Virginia Doubtfire.
It's a slightly better mock Scottish than that.
You Virginia Doubtfire.
That, right there.
You Virginia Doubtfire.
Yep, warmer.
Maybe she's had like a really Essex accent, like you Virginia Doubtfire.
Yeah, oh, look after your kids, yeah. It's all right if I have people around.
Yeah, my mum's a ladle and my dad's a kill. There we go. Anyway, yeah, she says a good cup of cocoa at some point in the movie, and I really like the way that she says it. So Harry's about to fall asleep.
Yeah, amid dreams of flying brooms and...
Yeah, and then there's explosions outside and fucking, it turns out... There's
all sorts of shit kicking off.
Yeah, the Death Eaters.
Yep.
The Killy Draft.
The Killy Draft has arrived.
Yeah. No one expects the Killy Draft. And they're fucking marching across the field, levitating Mr. Roberts and his family above them, like 60 feet in the air.
Yeah.
And basically like contorting them like marionettes.
Yeah. Flipping what? Mrs. Roberts upside down to reveal voluminous drawers.
Yeah, and... Why is she wearing that?
She's in a nightgown. Why? Who wears voluminous drawers under a nightgown?
Yeah, I'm imagining sort of like polka dot bloomers.
Yeah. Like... Yeah.
Yeah, it was very bizarre, but also hellish.
Yeah.
I felt sorry for them. I did. I did, Tom. I did.
I bloody felt sorry for them. They'd done nothing wrong, those muggles.
But I thought this was a really good example of the extreme, that final step into like Death Eaterism. Because I think it's that thing where anti-muggle wizards, for the most part, were like anti-muggle, but like they just wanted them like out and away kind of thing. Whereas Death Eaters cross that line in the way that like neo-Nazis, KKK do, into like this sort of like callous.
They're active about it.
Yeah, they're sort of like actively callous and violent, and which is, I think, a step that the majority of people who even are that way inclined don't really. That's a step that most people don't take. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it was a really good example of what like the fine line was. You know, say even between like the rest of the Black family, because who was it? I think Sirius at some point in book 5, he says that. Although that his family was like supporters of what Voldemort was going after, once he started killing muggles, they sort of backed off of like being like avid supporters.
Yeah.
Because even that was a bit far for them. And so I think I'm glad that we saw this example of what Death Eaters are actually like. Because I think it really sets them apart from just like a regular like racist wizard, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You know what I just thought? So like, Back in the day when wizards and witches were out in the open before the Statute of Secrecy, and they were routinely burned at the stake, even though it didn't like affect them that much, and routinely persecuted, driven out, killed. And then the Statute of Secrecy came in and they went into hiding, and that's how they've lived ever since.
Yeah.
I'm kind of just thinking about it now. I think it would have been nice if that had been explored a little more as maybe part of the reason for the dark wizards wanting to eradicate Muggles.
Oh, that would have been dope.
Been like, you know, do you not know the history of how we were oppressed, how we've had to live in hiding all this time, and how we were routinely killed when we were out in the open?
Do you think maybe it is, and we just haven't, like, read into it?
Maybe. Maybe it is.
I think maybe we actually should look up and see if that was a thing. Because as well, I don't know if the burnings came before or after the Statue of Secrecy.
Yeah, that's true. Because at the moment, it's like Voldemort and the Death Eaters hate Muggles and want to kill them because they're bad, evil people.
Yeah.
Whereas I think it might have given a little, maybe a slight more of an interesting nuance if we actually knew them. If we explored their motivation a little more in terms of the way that wizards were persecuted by Muggles and we.
Yeah,
and
that would have been good, actually.
Yeah.
And it would have been nice if, like,
making up for the historic injustices and stuff,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, and if, like, living Death Eaters had ancestors who were, like, burned.
Yeah, yeah.
Or who were killed in some way.
Because then there would have been, I mean, it's still, they still would have clearly been the evil bad guys, yeah, behaving how they did, but it would have maybe just given it a little more. It wouldn't have been, you know, just a little
even
more
if it
like
was just like part of the excuse, even if yeah, it wasn't, if it actually held no weight.
But a lot of the time, sometimes, like I said, when we were discussing, I think Bellatrix, it is nice when villains are just evil and horrible. But in terms of a larger plot, I think it's nicer when you do have a certain understanding of a villain's motives and you can kind of somewhat see why they've been driven to do the things that they've done rather than just because they're evil.
Yeah, I agree. That would have been like a nice sort of, yeah. Back to Muggles getting tortured. So they're getting tortured. So everyone's like, ah, fuck. And then Arthur's like, we're going to go and help. And like everyone of age basically sort of runs to go and aid the ministry.
Yeah, Arthur, Bill, Charlie and Percy.
Yeah.
They all run off to the aid of the ministry. And he says to the kids, run into the woods, stay hidden, etc.
Yeah. Then the trio gets separated from the others. And I think Ron trips over a tree root.
And Hermione's like, oh, this is silly. Lumos.
Yeah.
Which, like, fair enough. I mean, she's not supposed to be using magic outside school, but surely this is exceptional circumstances.
And it's like, it's that thing a bit like what we said before.
Yeah, they're not going to be able to trace it.
Yeah, they wouldn't know.
Yeah. They should all be doing magic, really.
Yeah. I would have done it, like, straight away.
Yeah.
As soon as I got there, I would have just, what would I have done? Probably something stupid, like, multiplied the sweets I had.
Yeah.
You know, like 10 bags of licorice all sorts instead of just one.
Oh, licorice all sorts.
I know how you feel about them. They're just so good.
They're all right.
Oh, maybe you're right, you know.
If I had to choose what bag of sweets to get, licorice all sorts are way down the list.
Do you know what? I think they would be for me too, but I don't know what I'd place above them. Like, what other, like, Christmassy. Okay, so it's Christmassy time now, almost. And, like, the Christmas food selections are coming out. So you're getting, like, the big box of licorice all sorts and stuff. But the only other one that you get that's like a sweet and not a chocolate is like wine gums, really.
Mm.
What else would you get? Or like jelly babies, I guess. I don't know how you feel about jelly babies. But
I do enjoy jelly babies.
Yeah, it's like, what else is there?
Yeah, I mean, I go for the crispy M&Ms, which I know is chocolate.
Yeah, see?
What's wrong with chocolate, though?
No, nothing. Just like, if you want like a candy.
Haribo Tangfastics.
I don't eat gelatin, which means I shouldn't be eating licorice all sorts.
Yeah, or wine gums, right?
Yeah, I don't eat wine gums. I'm just saying.
Or jelly babies?
Yeah, I can't eat those either.
So that could have applied to anything on this list.
Yeah. So I don't eat Christmas sweets. Ah, what a glorious waste of time. So Draco is fucking leaning against a tree and he says something shitty about Ron falling over.
Yeah, he does. Ron tells him to go fuck himself.
Yeah, and then someone's like,
which he actually does. It says Ron told Malfoy to do something. Harry was sure he wouldn't have said in front of Mrs. Weasley. You know he said, go fuck yourself, Malfoy.
Yeah, go get a job, Malfoy. What, boys? <Yeah. laughs> Oh, God. And then I think Harry's like, oh, I bet you're loving this. In fact, I bet like even like your parents are out there fucking doing all this.
Yeah.
And Draco's like, well, I wouldn't tell you even if they were.
Yeah, exactly. He tells Hermione that she'd better stay hidden because don't think they can't spot a mudblood.
Which they couldn't.
Yeah, I mean, how would they?
Like, I mean, only Lucius knows.
Yeah.
But Ron is like, do you know what, though? He's got a point. Maybe we should actually get, you know, like undercover. And then Harry was like, yeah, maybe Hermione is actually a bit more in danger than him and Ron were.
Yeah.
Which is such an awful thing. And it's like, oh, God, I feel so sorry for Hermione that that's like a thing that she has to worry about.
Yeah.
Especially in this like scenario. Like, imagine how frightened you would be.
Yeah.
You know?
They come across some French kids.
Yeah. She's like, oh, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then they all look perplexed. And then she's like, oh.
Hogwarts.
Yeah. Hogwarts. Oh, pardon. Je suis désolé. And then Hermione's like, oh, beau bâton. Oh, she says it really French. So it's like, beau bâton.
Beau bâton.
And then Harry's like, what? And then she's like, oh, the French wizarding school. Then Harry's like, oh, he never paid much thought that there were other wizarding schools.
Hmm. And that like, will come up later in the book.
Yeah. How convenient. And then Harry like goes to pat his pocket and he's like, fuck, I ain't got a wand.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, ah, oh, that's not good, is it?
Yeah, no. You need a wand, mate. You're a bloody wizard.
Yeah.
I'm a what?
Hermione just grabs him and shakes him. He's like, you're a wizard, Harry. This is your heart. Here. Inside here.
He's like, well, I mean, I can do maths and stuff.
She's like,
yeah, no maths here. No maths anymore, Harry.
Oh, God. Yeah, then they see Winky fucking running, like, weird. Like, she's sort of running through treacle, which is my own description and not JK's. And I'm proud of it. And then she disappears into a bush.
Winky does?
Yeah.
Huh, I forgot about that bit.
Oh, yeah, because I was like, I want to talk about everything, but then I don't want to spoil it for the listener, but then everyone fucking knows already, so I don't know what I'm trying to pretend for. Winky's trying to fight against the binding spell that Crouch put on between her and Crouch Junior. So she's like trying to fight against that, trying to get away from the ruckus. So she's running like really weird, and they're like, that's fucking weird. And then
they come across some Vila. With some men surrounding them, claiming extraordinary things, including Stan Shunpike from the Night Bus.
Yeah, he says, oh, I'm next in line to be Prime Minister of... Not Prime Minister, Minister of Magic.
Yeah. And Harry's like, lol.
And it's weird that the boys aren't affected then.
Ron is.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. So Ron bursts forward and he's like, I've just invented a broomstick that can outstrip the firebolt. And
no, he says, I've invented a broom that can fly to Jupiter.
That's it, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then like loud bangs happen everywhere, and then they bump into Bagman. Yeah,
they're again to the dogging field. Yeah.
And he's like, Petunia, Vernon? Like, Harry! Good to see you.
Good to see you, old boy.
Yes, I have eaten a tongue toffee. Yeah.
Petunia's developed rather a fondness for them.
Yes. We like to role play, you see. Her favourite one at the moment is The Exorcist. So she ties me to a bed and then she puts on a priest costume. And I say, what a wonderful day for an exorcism. And then she starts molesting me. It's very on brand. They bump into Bagman. He then fucks off again.
Yeah, he seems... he doesn't know what's happening. He's like, he looks... He looks weird to them, like he doesn't have the same boyish charm he used to have. But he doesn't seem to know anything about the ruckus. He's like, oh, shit, really?
Yeah, I think he's trying to escape the goblins, I think. Not the goblins, the trolls. What are the other things called?
Centaurs?
No, the other, like, little creatures. There's goblins, trolls. Is there another one?
House elves?
No, so it must be trolls he's trying to... Because he made a bet with the trolls as well. So I think he's trying to run away from them.
Because they see
a load of trolls with a bunch of gold or something. Yeah, and then they hear someone approach and someone goes, Mors Mordre! And then the Dark Mark appears in the sky.
Bloody Dark Mark flies up into the sky. But they don't see it. They hear someone like staggering closer to their clearing and Harry's like, who's there?
Yeah, because it's behind a bush, isn't it?
Yeah.
The thing
and he goes
from.
And he can't see anyone, but he gets the sense that there's someone just on the edge of his vision in the darkness. And then Dark Mark gets cast and they're all like, what?
Yeah. Looks like it's a big skull with a snake coming out of the
big
mouth.
Big skull that's eating a tongue toffee.
And Petunia's like, oh!
It's a tongue with a tongue.
And Werner's like, steady the baths, steady the baths. Yeah, and literally seconds later, fucking a circle of wizards appear.
And immediately throw stunning spells out.
Harry's so smart. Harry, without thinking, grabs the others and goes, duck! And he pulls them to the ground.
Yeah.
And the curses fly over their heads.
Yeah.
And sear the back of like Harry's like neck, he says, like the heat of it. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. And then the curses like rebound into the forest and stuff. Amazingly, no one hit each other across the
circle. Yeah, I thought that. How did they not all stun each other?
Yeah.
And then they hear, stop, that's my son.
Stop, that's my son. That's my boy. No, sorry, that's Amos at the end, isn't it?
Oh.
Oh.
Shame.
Yeah. And then Mr. Crouch and the others approach the trio and Hermione's like, look, that's where the spell came from over there. She points into the bush. And they're like, I didn't realise you had hair there yet.
Jesus Christ.
That is my favourite Tom reaction, right? When he laughs, he goes, Jesus Christ. So they go into the bush.
Yeah, so they're like, oh, they'll be long gone by now. They'll have disapparated. And someone goes, well, our stunners went right through there. There's a good chance we got them.
Fair
and
enough.
And someone comes in. And Mick Crouch is like crazed and is like just demanding which one of them cast the mark. And is like, an incantation, eh? Well, you seem to know an awful lot about how the mark is conjured, missy.
And she's like, yes, I read it in Dark Arts, a history.
So Amos goes rummaging in the bush and
I'm sorry. Continue.
And finds Winky.
He does find Winky in the bush. God. And she's holding Harry's wand.
Holding Harry's wand. Oh God, it's just getting worse.
Yeah, she's got Harry's wand and she's unconscious.
Yes.
Yes.
Amos drags her out of the bush.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh shit, it's Barty Crouch's elf. Oh, awkward.
Yeah, I was like, oh.
Damn.
Then Winky comes round and starts crying straight away, pretty much.
Yeah, she denies his... Winky not knowing how, sir. Yeah.
Winky did not... No, that's terrible. Winky did not cast the mark. No, is that good? Winky! Winky! She's like, no, I did not cast the mark.
Winky is not knowing how.
Oh, God. And so Amos is like, well, there's one way to find out, isn't there? And then he does
Priori Incantato.
No, it's not that. That's what happens later, the spell.
That is the incantation, because
no,
I wrote...
No, it's Priori Incantato.
That's what I said.
You said Priori Incantatum.
I said Priori Incantato.
Oh, but there is no re at the end of Prior...
I heard an E.
It's not. I promise you.
You've promised me before.
I know. No, because I thought it was that, because that's what happens. That's the name of one of the chapters towards the end of the book, because of what happens with Harry and Voldemort's wand. But it's not. That's like the name of what happens, but the spell was Priori Incantato.
Oh, maybe I would just heard the word prior going into the it of Incantato.
Probably.
Maybe. Okay. All right. Let's say that.
See, even then he's not fucking sure, is he?
I'm not.
Well,
you've given me too much doubt over the years.
You've a Janiya. Doubt, fire. Right, so they do that, and then a little
I'm going to start calling you.
I'm here for it, man. A little dark mark comes out.
Yeah, cute little dark mark.
And then Crouch is like, he sort of gives her a talking to, and he's like, I'm going to deal with her myself.
Yeah, this means clothes.
Yeah, and she's like, no! No clothes.
Yeah, and Hermione gets all fucking... I sort of forgot about Hermione's, like, vendetta against anyone about...
Yeah, this was so not the time to do it.
No, like, but... And she mentions it earlier when they're running through the woods as well, when they... I think when they first stumble across Winky.
Yeah, like, I mean, that was, like, a fair enough comment for her to make, but in this situation especially...
Yeah, I mean, even in that situation, they're running away from, like, dangerous riot.
Yeah, and it's like they're basically talking to, like, the police, pretty much, kind of, you know, and, like...
Yeah.
You would just stay quiet. Unless it was like her house elf.
Yeah.
You know, like then you'd get involved. Otherwise, just like, shh.
Yeah, keep your opinions to yourself, Hermione.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake.
Fucking.
That's not a. I kind of remembered that Hermione goes on that whole quest with a like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hermione's subplot.
Yeah.
Is the name of that chapter.
And when they're all done with that, Harry asks for his wand back.
Yes.
And we get an instance of Harry pocketed it.
Yeah, I know. I was like, yeah, boy. I want to hear you struggle, Stephen. Yeah, they all go back to the tent and Hermione and Percy get into a fight over Winky.
Yeah.
He's like, Percy's obviously like pro Crouch. He's like, oh, can you imagine the shame of fucking house elf not doing what it's told, blah, blah. Then Hermione's like, she didn't do anything. She was just trying to be a.
Yeah, you can't have a servant who disobeys him. And Hermione's like, slave, you mean?
Yeah.
He doesn't pay her, which is a good point.
Yeah. Really, Hermione is an abolitionist.
Yeah.
And Percy is a Confederate man. Yeah.
He's a wealthy landowner.
Yeah.
He wishes. Yeah, as they emerge from the forest, the whole crowd accosts them and it's like, what's happened? What's happened? And Arthur's like, nothing, no one's been hurt, and doesn't give any further information, which becomes relevant later.
Yeah, before they do go to sleep, actually, Harry wonders if all this like palaver is connected to his dream in some way. And he goes to sleep without the happy thoughts that he had earlier that night. It's pretty sad. I feel like every time something good happens to Harry, it always ends in disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alas. Then we go into chapter 10.
Mayhem at the Ministry.
Yeah. Ba-ba-ba.
Mayhem dans le Ministry.
So they leave the campsite the next day. Kind of everyone's got sort of in the same like shitty mood. And then they pass Mr.
Yeah,
Roberts.
They use it. There's no fucking about with Muggle methods to pack up the tent. It's just like, no, just, yeah, magic up the tent, fine.
He should have just set it on fire. Let it burn like our promise of a good tomorrow.
He's borrowed it from someone, hasn't he? He's like, fuck him.
Oh, do you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if he fucking borrowed it.
He says he has.
Oh.
From a friend who goes camping or something, but he doesn't use it anymore.
So yeah, they pack up like, I was going to say splickety quick, but it's lickety splick.
Lickety split, isn't it? Or spit?
No, it's splick.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Lickety splick.
I thought it was lickety spit. Lickety split.
Spit.
Split. Spit or split?
No, I'm pretty sure it's splick.
All right, I'm Googling it.
God. He just doesn't trust me.
Lickety split.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. With good reason, it seems. they pass Mr. Roberts, who waves them off with a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, with a faint Merry Christmas.
Yeah, and Arthur's like, don't worry, he'll be fine. Sometimes major memory modification makes people a little weird for a couple of days.
Yeah, and that was a big thing to make him forget.
Fucking hell, yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
that poor family, my God.
I know.
This must be how the farmers at Glastonbury feel like every
year.
So they head back to the borough.
Yep, and Molly greets them. From around the corner, runs up all worried and immediately hugs Fred and George and is like, God, to think if anything happened and the last thing I said to you was that you didn't get enough OWLs.
Yeah. I thought, I'm glad that you've seen the error of your ways.
Yeah.
But also her eyes were red, so she was blatantly lighting up that entire night. Turns out her fucking job is a fucking weed farm. Yeah. She's like, I'm going to be rich beyond Everest. Yeah, and she has the Daily Prophet, and there's the World Cup is all over it. Like, but not the World Cup, the incident.
All the shit that happened at the World Cup, yeah. And Arthur's like, oh, I'm mentioned. And Molly's like, what? And he's like, not by name. But yeah, a representative from the ministry confirmed that no injuries had happened, but that would give no further comment. Did nothing to quell the rumours that several bodies were pulled from the forest after that. It's like,
Yeah.
Fucking Rita Skeeter,
man. Yeah, it's the first time I hear of her.
Yeah.
Her and her poisonous quill.
Yeah, ministry disgrace, blunder, lack security, and all of that is how it's all, like, reported.
Yeah, and it's, like, it's all shitty and everyone's sort of in a fucked off mood anyway. So, Harrier, they, like, the trio disappear up to Ron's room.
Yeah, Arthur and Percy go straight into work.
Yeah, to try and sort out the mess. Percy's like, oh, all hands on deck are going to be needed. I can hand in my report.
Yeah, and I'll hand in my cauldron report as well. And I just imagine, can you imagine if he... He's not going to want that fucking cauldron report, Percy.
Percy's the kind of guy who he would need to do something like that, and you would have to give him a complete dressing down in maybe even in like a public fashion for him to get the message. I feel like because trying to give him the hints of the what he's doing is stupid, blah blah blah, he would never pick up on it. So you like Mr. Crouch would have to like say, look, Percy, I don't give a shit about your fucking cauldron pool. The only reason you're here is because my last fucking assistant died and we needed an eager replacement stat.
Yeah.
You are nothing, Weatherby.
Oh, and by the way, I know exactly what your name is.
Yeah. It would have to be something like that for him to get the message, I feel.
Yeah.
He's too, like, obtuse.
Well, but when they start talking about Rita Skeeter, he says, oh, she commented that what's the point in doing all these reports on cauldron bottoms when we should be out there hunting vampires? And I said to her, and then Bill goes, do us a favor, Purse, shut up.
Yeah. God, I don't know why. God, they must hate him so much.
Yeah.
Everyone acts like they were sad when he, like, left the family, but I think everyone was just kind of happy. Just didn't want to admit it.
It was just a bit awkward, wasn't it? It was like, just don't bring up Percy.
Well, yeah, just because it always made Molly cry.
Yeah.
Everyone else was just like, I'm glad he's gone. Yeah, so Harry tells the trio about his scar.
Yeah, asks if any posters arrived for him and tells them that he wrote to Sirius to tell him that his scar hurt and about his dream and everything.
Yeah, and everyone's like, look, do you want to go outside and play some Quidditch?
And Hermione's like, now's not the time for Quidditch.
He doesn't want to play Quidditch. He wants to rest and sleep. And Harry's like, no, actually, I do want to play some Quidditch.
Yeah, so shut the fuck up, Hermione.
That what would backhands be?
With both hands at the same time.
No, I imagine like you put your wand in your mouth and play it like a saxophone kind of thing. And then like, I don't know, maybe she like vomits and shits herself at the same time. Everyone's like, bloody hell. Poor Hermione.
Yeah, well, that's got to be messy.
Yeah. And she's just like, bleh, you're not bleh, allowed to do magic bleh, outside of school. And I was like, let's go play Quidditch. No, it doesn't happen. No, Hermione storms out and goes, oh, boys.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's nothing wrong with wanting to do a pleasurable activity to take your mind off of horrendous truths.
No. That's how most of us fill up our lives.
Yeah. That's why we take heroin. So, yeah, next day, Percy and Arthur go into work again.
They barely see any more of Percy and Arthur. They're constantly going to work. And we get the first, I think it's Arthur, maybe it was mentioned in an early book, but of the cool clock.
Yeah.
Where they're all either at work or at
home. No, because that morning before Percy and Arthur go, Percy blames Arthur for the stuff for the Rita Skeeter article.
Oh, yeah, where he says, well, I mean, it was a bit silly of him to make an official statement without clearing it with his head of... He says without clearing it with his head of department, but Arthur Weasley is a head of department. Anyway.
Maybe he's a head of a department within a bigger department.
Yeah, maybe. And then, and she's like, don't you dare blame your father for that woman and her... bullshit.
Yeah. And then Bill's like, look, mate, Rita Skeeter's a kind of about everyone. She called me a long-haired pillock once when she interviewed the staff of Gringotts. And then Molly's like, well, it is a bit long, dear. If you just let me...
And you are a bit of a pillock.
Yeah. Yeah, you are a bit of a cunt that I wish I'd aborted. Come on.
Snip, snip.
Yeah. I never told you this, but your father was going to push me down the stairs. But I was like, no, no. The more children I have, the longer I can stay at home. The twins are in the corner fucking scheming for more wheezes.
It just sounded like you were going to stop the sentence after fucking.
Sorry, Mum, it's a weird side effect of the tongue toffee. Yeah. yeah, and then Molly's like, and what are you two up to?
The homework.
Yeah, but
she's like, you're still on holiday. And she's they're like, yeah, we've left it a bit late or something.
Which... And then she's like, oh, you're not filling out any more order forms, are you? And they're like, no, Mum, how would you feel if the next day the Hogwarts Express crashed and we died and the last thing you lobbied at us was an unfounded accusation?
Yeah.
And everyone laughs, including Molly.
And then she seemingly just lets it go, yeah. Which, good.
Yeah.
As you should have the whole fucking
at
time.
At last, she fucking does what any good mum should and stays the fuck out of her son's room. Yeah, Percy and Hermione have another fight over Winky.
Yeah.
It's just more of the same, but it's just us getting more little sort of like slips of Hermione's...
Yeah, building up to her great quest throughout the book. Yeah, they go upstairs to pack. Ron gives Harry his Diagon Alley stuff that Molly got. She also got money out of your vault for you.
Yes!
Which, I mean, we've addressed it.
She got a sack of gold out of his fucking vault for him.
Yeah.
Bought him his stationery and his, what we are soon to find out, dress robes.
Yeah.
I can't get over it.
I mean,
and Harry's fine about it.
He doesn't question how.
Yeah.
How did she get into my vault? Can anyone just do that?
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder what's in Dumbledore's vault.
All sorts of crazy shit.
Yeah, I bet there's just skeletons. Like, literal. So she buys Harry some dress robes because it's a requirement on the school list this year.
Mm.
She buys Harry some nice new ones. They're emerald green or bottle green, I think, to match his eyes. Then Ron's ones are fucking awful.
Yeah.
Because she had to get them secondhand. And I was thinking, you should have just skimmed a little bit of the money, took out of Harry's vault and bought Ron some decent dress robes.
Harry has no idea how much money is in his vault.
Yeah.
And you didn't ask you to get any particular amount out. He would never have known, and even if he did, he'd be fine with it.
Yeah And you would have had to live with that guilt, but at least your son wouldn't hate you forever.
Yeah, well,
I mean, I guess it's inevitable that all her children are gonna fucking despise her, right?
Yeah,
because she's an awful woman, Tom.
That she is.
No matter how much gravy she brings home.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. They're on the Hogwarts Express. Everyone's like, oh, I know. Pulls that little pot and he's like, do you want some, Harry?
Oh, got a pot of mum's gravy.
Harry's like, no, I'm fine, thanks. I'll just use my saliva as a relish.
Anyway, Ron is less than impressed with his dress robes and says, I'll go bloody Starkers before I go in that.
No, so I wrote that first and then I was like, no, what does he actually say? So I went back and he goes, I'm not wearing them. And then Molly goes, fine, go naked. And
it's,
Harry,
it's
make
both,
sure
yeah.
you get some pictures. Goodness knows I could do with a laugh.
Yeah, exactly. That's how the chapter finishes, yeah. But Ron does say, I'll go Starkers before
no,
I go in that. Yes, he does.
I don't believe you.
Fine.
Prove it to me, Tom.
All right.
Tell me all about it. Damn you, Godzilla! damn it. Yeah, Tom just played me the clip. And he does say it. Fine, I believe you. And I thought that was quite a good burn from Molly.
Yeah.
And then she leaves, and then Ron goes, why is everything I own rubbish? And I was like, well, because, Ron, as I've told you many times, you're poor.
Yeah.
Said Harry, jingling his bag. Yeah. Gold coins. Yeah, that brings us to the end of the chapter.
Indeed. End of the chapter and end of the episode.
Yeah, I am really enjoying this book. I said that like I'm lying, but I'm not.
Yeah, me too. I remember this sense from reading through the books as a kid that I sort of feel like they just get better and better.
They do.
That's what I remember. I'll see if I still agree with that as we reach the end of the series. But that feels true for me at the moment, anyway, this far.
Do you know what they do? There's just aspects of book 7 which kind of let it down a bit for me.
Yeah.
So it's not as good as book 6, I would say. But in general, yeah, everything just starts. Just, I don't know why. I would say, I mean, it's all sort of been good. After book 1, it just kept on getting better and better anyway.
Yeah.
I think it's more, just because the books are bigger, so more things are in them. So I think it's kind of naturally more exciting, you know?
Yeah.
Because more actual, like, magical events that happen. Yeah, just all the little sort of, like, bits that have been dropped so far, and sort of the severity of situations is quite exciting as well, in a way.
Yeah, the stakes keep getting raised.
And other things. Oh, that was a terrible cheap joke. Available now at Weasley's Wedding Weasley. Yeah. So yeah, I am very excited to
Me
see
too.
Where we go with this.
To see what happens in the story.
Yeah. Can you imagine if we like... Nah, I was going to say, I don't want to tempt fate, but I'm going to. If we had like an accident, so we literally forgot. But the only thing that we forgot was what happens in the Harry Potter books. So we had to do this podcast literally like without knowing what the fuck happens. That'd be so weird. I don't know if we could.
No. That was a hypnosis. I think it was Jack Whitehall on some comedy program said that him and his friends went to a hypnotist and got hypnotized to forget everything that happened in the Harry Potter so that they could experience it again.
And did it work?
I don't know.
Ah, that's
come to think of it, I think the show was Would I Lie to You, so I can't remember if it actually turned out to be true or not.
Oh, God, thank you for listening. Please check us out on Instagram at PaulieRedPod. Check us out on Twitter at PaulieRedPod. Email us at PaulieRed@gmail.com. And drop us a rating and a review on the Apple Podcast app if that is your chosen method of listenery. It will help other people discover us. It will help us feel good about ourselves when we sit alone in a cold bathtub. So yeah, without further ado, I've been Gifted.
I've been Tom.
And Hagrid has apparently...
Has still Hagrid. Not been Hagrid yet.
I know, right?
But he will be Hagrid soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, and in book 5, he's fucking being Hagrid all over the place, so...
Yeah, Hagrid gets himself everywhere.
Fucking what a fucking troglodyte. Right, Hagrid's been Hagrid. Bye.